This is Pastor Emery, and this tape contains three radio broadcasts on the money system. These are the 30-minute, once-a-week programs heard on the stations where we broadcast just once a week. These specific programs are all free on the money system and were broadcast in March of 1973. This is just the preaching part of the broadcast and does not include the introduction or the close of the program. Money and the Mark of the Beast. We're going to read at the beginning of this Bible study some of the verses in Revelation 13, 14, 15, and 16 referring to this strange thing called the mark of the beast, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And that it has to do with money and economics is the reason we've given the title to this series as Money and the Mark of the Beast. Now, I'm only going to use three of these half-hour broadcasts for this Bible study, so we'll be offering some books and tracts which go a little further than we'll have time to on the radio. But first, turn with me in your Bible and read these strange verses in Revelation 13, talking about the beast, which is described to some extent in the first part of Revelation 13. We read in verses 16 and 17, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." Now, if you think for just a moment on those verses, this would obviously be, to be fulfilled, a complete and total economic dictatorship over all the world. If this had a literal fulfillment, that no man might buy or sell, say that he had that mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of the name, that would mean that all those who refused it or who did not have it could not buy or sell, and as a result, of course, could not live, could not even work and make a living. Verse 18 says, "Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, many people have speculated on this 666 mark of the beast. Some have identified the Roman Catholic Church by this number, but very few have considered that its number has to do with economics, with money, with world control of economics and money, if you please. Now, this is not just some passing thing, either in past history or in the future. We see, because it is mentioned among other prophecies given in symbol and vision in the succeeding chapters in the book of Revelation. As an example, in Revelation 14:9, we read, "The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God." So those who are on the side, who are in affinity with the mark of the beast or the number of his name, have the wrath of God to come upon them. It is also mentioned in the 16th chapter, speaking of the first of the seven angels, which are described in the 15th chapter as being the seven angels with the seven last plagues of the wrath of God. And in verse 1 of chapter 16, "I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image." So here we see this is carried right on in quite a long prophecy written here in Revelation by John. Actually, John saw several visions given to him by the angel, or words given to him by the angel, which he wrote down here in these several chapters, and in several cases he mentions the mark of the beast. Now, we will be identifying this mark to some extent, but But first we are going to consider the actual world economic system today. Now, many people realize that America is in bad trouble economically. Our people are in debt. Our people are taxed to the point of confiscation of their property. And yet most of them, knowing so little about God's Word and about His Bible, do not know that God's Word has much to say, not only about our situation of debt and interest and trouble, but God's righteous money system. Yes, there is a money system that would take care of the wants of the people, that would prevent poverty, and would see that people could live under a righteous economic system, and it's all spelled out in the Bible, but there isn't one Christian in 1,000 who knows anything about it. As far as America's individual economic problem, I want to read just the first two paragraphs in my book titled, Coming Soon, America Without Debt, Crime, or War. This is one of the two tracts or books that you can have as our March packet of literature. This book is 104 pages. It has a picture of the Liberty Bell on the front that has the crack in it, and the crack is described and the reason given for it in the book. And the Liberty Bell has a great significance in America, in not only in our past, but also in our future. And that is described in the book. I don't know whether we'll have time to discuss it on the radio broadcast or not. But this is part of our March packet of literature, which you can have by writing to me, Pastor Emery, at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. The zip code is 85010, and all you have to do is ask for it. These literature packets are free for the asking. We know that many, many people hear these broadcasts who do not understand the doctrines we teach, new listeners and perhaps those who have only heard the broadcast for a few times. And we do not ask you to send money because we do not ask you to support this broadcast until you understand the truths that we teach. So you just write to that address, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, and ask for the marked packet of literature. You will receive this 104-page book titled, Coming Soon, America Without Debt, Crime, or War. Just imagine. Can you imagine anybody writing a book that says America will soon be without debt, that America will soon be without crime, and that America will soon be without war? In the present state of events, these things are increasing so rapidly that most Americans, or I should say a great many Americans, actually expect debt, crime, and war to destroy this nation. And of course they would if they would continue unchecked. But God has greater plans for America than destruction. But in the first two paragraphs of this book, in chapter 1, the chapter title is Trouble and Money, subtitle Broken Homes, Broken Lives. And you think, because in here is the gist of the economic situation that we find ourselves in, broken homes, broken lives. Quote, in the 20th century, the United States of America is easily seen as the wealthiest and most productive nation in the world, making efficient use of an abundance of natural resources and an intelligent and skilled labor force. The United States now produces over 50% of the manufactured goods of the world each year. Similarly, our agricultural production is the envy of the world. And yet the American working people who produce this vast store of wealth seem always to be short of money and in debt. American wives are working unprecedented numbers. Husbands hope for overtime hours or take a second part-time job to help pay their bills. When the children reach college age, most of them must work part-time to pay their way, as the parents are unable to afford the added financial burden. At the same time, the American family must work more hours to survive. Total debt climbs higher and higher, while psychologists and family counselors say the major cause in America of family breakups and divorce is trouble over money and debt. Law officers say that many of our juvenile criminals are coming from such broken homes. That is the first two paragraphs of my book, Coming Soon, America Without Debt, Crime, or War. And as I go further on in that first chapter, I show that the major foundation cause of America's trouble is the wrong money system, an iniquitous, antichrist, satanic, Babylonian system that takes the American people who work hard and produce, as I said, American factories, and yet our people are in debt. Where is the wealth that America produces going? Obviously, it is not going to the American people. If it were, they would be able to pay off their debts and live debt-free. And yet there's hardly a family in America except the wealthy who are debtor and higher. According to a recent Associated Press report, quote, taxes will reach a record average of $4,520 per American family, up 6.5% from a year ago, and up 77% from 1962. Yes, we are a people robbed and spoiled. Does this prophecy in the book of Revelation that no man might buy or sell, say that he had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name, have anything to do with our current economic situation? A little further on in Revelation 14, 15, and 16, as we come to chapters 17 and 18, which describe the fall of Babylon, and I'm going to have to skip a lot of these verses because of time, but you should read them. We see that in verse 18, there is a great earthquake. In chapter 16 of Revelation, verse 18, there is a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great, and this earthquake is not a literal physical shaking of the earth, but I believe is a dividing of the world into three economic parts, because all of the chapters 13, 14, 15, and the first part of 16 have to do with money and economic control. And here we see this great earthquake, and then the result of this earthquake is, in verse 19, and the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and here's the name of the great city, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Notice, Babylon, the great city, is divided into three parts. This mystery Babylon is named and described in Revelation 17 and 18, and the angel tells John in verse 18 of Revelation 17 that the woman which thou sawest is that great city, in other words, Babylon, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So this worldwide money economic system described in Revelation 14, 15, 16, 17 and 18 is called Babylon. It's called Mystery Babylon, and its economic system is such that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of the name. The United States of America, recently, under orders of the President of the United States, devalued the American dollar. The devaluation itself did not come as a surprise to many of us. In fact, we believe it will be devalued again. But some of the news articles about the devaluation has given us a glimpse into a total world money control which is already being established in conjunction with the Federal Reserve Board of the United States of America. The Federal Reserve Board, as some of my listeners know, is the agency which controls the amount of money allowed to go into circulation in America. Perhaps I should not have said money, because actually what goes into circulation in America is not money, but is debt. They allow more debt, and as people borrow money on the basis of debt and mortgages, then more money goes into circulation. Here is a newspaper article from February 21, 1973, with a photograph of Arthur Burns, Federal Reserve Board Chairman. The headline reads, Third Devaluation Out, Fed Chief Tells Congress. And then this is a quote from his testimony before a hearing of the Banking and Currency Committee, in which he said, we have no plans for a third devaluation, but in the newspaper article, there is a paragraph which reads, on other matters, Burns said, the Federal Reserve Board is taking seriously suggestions that an international bank be created. Now, you can see that the creation of an international bank would be followed by an international currency, and we would have a one world currency. And way back here, at about 95 A.D., the angel gave John a revelation that in the end of the age there would be such a thing as the inability of men to buy or sell except they had a mark of the beast. Now, if there were an international currency issued by an international bank, it would mean that everyone in the world would have to use a world currency. About a week or so later, a very small news article appeared from the Associated Press with a headline, "Need for Monetary Accord Cited." Here is the entire article, and you listen to this as you think about these things stated in the book of Revelation. Arthur F. Burns, chairman of the Federal Reserve System, said today, "The world cannot afford to wait to rebuild the international monetary system. The unstable exchange market since mid-January has pointedly demonstrated once again the urgent need for reaching early agreement on the framework of a new international monetary system," end of quote. Burns said this in a prepared statement to the Subcommittee on International Payments, House Committee on Banking and Currency. But as he says this, he implies that they don't necessarily like this, but they may have to do this. This is to make the people think that they are not actually planning to do this. Congressman Rarick has testified before another committee of Congress that the recent 10% devaluation of the American dollar will cost the American citizens over $3 billion in their buying of imports and also of American merchandise. Rarick said, and this is a quote from a news article of February 22nd, Rarick said these same experts point to foreign trade agreements with Red China and Russia as contributory causes to the dollar drain. He said that the only profit to be made will go into the pockets of Russian wheat dealers, the Chinese cotton buyers, and the international money manipulators. While we export our goods for less, we must pay higher prices for the foreign raw materials than go into virtually all made-in-America consumer products, he said. Rarick said the administration is seeking to give foreign buyers a 10% discount on American-made products and at times slap the taxpayer with a $2 billion-plus bill for that privilege. End of that article, and I only read part of it. But as you read these newspaper articles, you will see that there apparently is total and complete cooperation between the government of America, the government of Russia, and the government of China. These governments of these nations are working in total cooperation to the detriment of the American people. The American people are in debt to the international money bankers more than all the rest of the world put together. And every one of these schemes or things that these men devise puts the American people more in debt and is a benefit to the governments of Russia and China. To show you how completely these three parts of the world, and remember now in Revelation 16, before this world economic system called Babylon comes before God for destruction, it says that great city or Babylon is divided into three parts. And I believe those three parts are China and its control over the Asiatic area, Russia and its control over Western Asia and Eastern Europe, and the people who have usurped control over the American government and Western Europe. They are working completely in harmony in their trade to the detriment of Christendom. And as you read Revelation 14, 15, and 16, you'll see that this world economic system is in opposition to the Lamb and to the followers of the Lamb. In fact, in Revelation 18 and verse 4, John writes, "I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues, And then the description in Revelation 18 shows the fall of this tremendous worldwide economic system. Now, here is an example of the almost amazing close cooperation between the people who run the United States government and the people who run the Soviet Union. This is from a news article and newsletter published in Washington, D.C. Quote, "A three-way deal involving Japan as well as the United States and Soviet Russia will help the Soviets pay for wheat imports in the years to come. According to reliable financial sources, in this deal, the Japanese will make substantial investments to develop the big natural gas deposits in Yakutia in northeast Siberia, where Soviet wildcatters have already located 28 trillion cubic feet of gas, which is about 10% as much as the total known reserves of natural gas in the United States. The deal is expected to involve more than $1 billion in Japanese capital for the drilling out of the gas fields, for a pipeline to the Pacific coast of Siberia, and for loading facilities. It is expected to absorb a large part of the huge trade surplus which the Japanese currently are running with this country. In addition, the United States government itself is to sink approximately $6 billion in the even bigger natural gas deposits in northwestern Siberia near Medvedevsky." Now, before I read on in that, just think. The United States government is going to take $6 billion of the American taxpayers' money and use it to take natural gas out of the ground in Siberia. Natural gas which we as consumers will then be forced to buy from the world market, because in America, the so-called ecologists, who are mostly motivated by a sympathy to world communism, are attempting to stop natural gas development in America. In fact, they are successful to the extent that they have practically stopped the drilling for oil and natural gas in Alaska. By crying that we will hurt the ecology of Alaska and Canada, they have forced a very sympathetic U.S. government, I might say, to force the oil drillers to stop trying to get natural gas from Alaska. At the same time, they are spending American taxpayers' money to drill for natural gas in the Soviet Union, natural gas which will then be purchased by American consumers. This will do two things. This will transfer billions of dollars from America to the communist government of Russia, and at the same time make America dependent for its natural gas on an enemy nation. Let me read the last paragraph of this Washington bulletin. "In order to persuade the Japanese industrialists to cooperate, the Nixon negotiators, headed by Paul Volcker, Undersecretary of the Treasury in charge of international affairs, who is on leave of absence as vice president of the Chase Manhattan Bank, have made a covert commitment not to invoke the Anti-Dumping Act, as has been threatened against the influx of cheap Japanese imports. Currently, the U.S. trade deficit with Japan is running at more than $4 billion a year." The article is rather brief, but of course you can see not only the truth that the world governments are in total cooperation economically, but that cooperation is detrimental to Christendom, to the Christian people who are here on this North American continent in America and Canada, and of course also to our brethren in Europe. The American people are being conditioned to accept a shortage of natural gas and also a shortage of gasoline by news articles emanating from the federal government, also from the so-called ecology groups, that it will soon cost the American consumer $1 a gallon for gasoline, and that we should have to restrict our driving, and so on and so on. What they are not being told is it is the policy of the men who have usurped control of the United States government to make the American consumers dependent for our energy supplies of not only gas, but also gasoline on foreign nations, placing America in a very bad situation militarily and economically. What is this? This is all a fulfillment of the prophecy given in the Bible that the great world Antichrist system, called in Revelation 17, mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, would war against Christendom. John describes this woman on the red beast being world communism, in Revelation 17. The beast is described as a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And those seven heads and ten horns are the various nations under world communism. But riding on world communism is a woman arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. And the next verse shows that she is anti-Christ, anti-Christian. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. The Soviet Union itself, not counting China, has murdered or put to death at least 50 million Christians in the last 60 years. This Antichrist world system called communism is cooperating in the governments of the three parts of the world. The great city was divided into three parts in verse 19 of Revelation 16. This is Pastor Sheldon Emery. My time is up for this week. We'll continue this study of the Bible prophecies and the world economic system next week, Lord willing. And we'll show you additional evidence that these prophecies of this great world anti-Christ economic system are coming to pass before our very eyes, and she soon will be destroyed. That's the reason for the title of my book, Coming Soon, America Without Debt, Crime, or War. Intervention by God Almighty will destroy this world system of economics, which is destroying Christendom. So you're right, ask for the March packet of literature. You will receive my 16-page tract titled, Billions for the Bankers Brings War, Taxes, and Debt to the People. We estimate that perhaps as many as 300,000 people have read that tract since I wrote it in 1967. Then my book, 104 pages, Coming Soon, America Without Debt, Crime, or War. For those who want further reading, send a $2 offering, the announcer will give the address, and ask for America's Ultimate Weapon, America's Ultimate Weapon, a 189-page hardcover book. Until next week, this is Pastor Emery saying goodbye. Read your Bible, God bless you, and Christian America. Thank you. Yes, this is Pastor Sheldon Emery, and as I mentioned last week, I'm going to restrict our study of this debt money system to three broadcasts at this time. I know from my mail that I have many, many people who know little or nothing about the relationship of the Bible and the present world military, political, and economic system. So in order to give some of you listeners a chance to write and obtain this literature, read it, and then digest part of it before we go into a more detailed study, we'll just use this broadcast and, Lord willing, next week on this specific subject of money and the mark of the beast. We took our title from Revelation 13 and verse 17, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So you write to me, Pastor Sheldon Emery, at America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona, 85010, and ask for the March packet of literature, or just ask for the books on money. One is my 16-page tract titled, Billions for the Bankers Brings War, Taxes, and Debts to the People. This was originally written by me in 1967. We do not know how many copies have been printed. We have printed quite a few. Other organizations have reprinted them. It's been printed in several small-town newspapers. And we do know of one organization on the East Coast that printed and sold over 100,000 copies. So we would estimate that somewhere between 250,000 and 350,000 people have read this small article of mine titled, Billions for the Bankers Brings War, Taxes, and Debts to the People. I have received mail from all over the United States, from Canada, and even from Europe, from people who told me, well, Pastor Emery, I read your article. It's the best one I ever read. For the first time in my life, I understood how 18 million workers in America could produce one half of the world's manufactured goods every year and yet end up in debt to the extent they have to put their wives to work. They have to make their children work their way through college. And we are mortgaged on our homes, on our cars. We are mortgaged on our future earnings down through generations to come. And yet we can still put out this production, which is almost unbelievable and is the envy of the world. In the first page of my tract, Billions for the Bankers, I reproduced a little study done by Senator Alan Ellender, who has since passed away, and he made this in 1971. I visited with Senator Ellender in his office. I don't think he understood the money system. He saw the results. He saw the calamity coming on America, but I doubt if he understood why. But he had his staff go to work and compute what physically $400 billion would be, and that at that time was the approximate amount of the national debt. And you just listen to what you people owe, and mind you, you can't pay it. All you can do is pay the money lender the interest on it. And that interest amounts to 7%, or almost $30 billion a year. Senator Ellender's staff discovered that if every member of Congress counted two $1 bills every second of every minute of every day for 8 hours, taking no coffee breaks, holidays, or vacations, it would take the Senate 267 years just to count $400 billion. He said at its current capacity, it would take the Bureau of Printing and Engraving 171 years just to print 400 billion $1 bills. It would take a train of 3,456 railway boxcars to hold $400 billion. And if they were to place them end for end and side by side with 160 bills wide or 35 feet, it would encircle the equator 1,552 times, just the debt from our federal government. And by the way, that article is in the front page of my book, or track rather, Billions for the Bankers Brings War, Taxes, and Debt to the People. In the track, I also show how the multi-billionaire financiers plan, yes, plan and carry out the wars to destroy the product of the people's labor and place them in debt. You'll also receive my larger 104-page book, which not only shows the problem, but shows you what God Almighty says about it in His Bible and the prophecies of what is going to happen to this world economic system. The title of the book is Coming Soon, America Without Debt, Crime, or War. Yes, this world money system is going to be destroyed. You can receive both my tract and my book by simply writing and asking for it to America's Promise, Box 5334, Phoenix, Arizona. By the way, the book, the 104-page book, has over 21 illustrations demonstrating the text. And we've had many teenagers read both of them and say, yes, now we understand what is wrong with America. I've quoted in the back of this book about 25 or 30 great Americans telling what is wrong with the money system and that it would destroy America if not changed. For instance, Thomas Jefferson said, quote, I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. Already they have raised a money aristocracy that has set the government at defiance. The issuing power should be taken from the banks and restored to the people to whom it properly belongs. John C. Calhoun said, place the money power in the hands of a combination of a few individuals, and they, by expanding or contracting the currency, may raise or sink prices at pleasure, and by purchasing when at the greatest depression and selling when at the greatest elevation, a command the whole property and industry of the community. There is a reason why 60 years after the Federal Reserve Act was passed in 1913, that every large skyscraper in the downtown area of our cities is owned by a bank, and every new home is mortgaged to a bank. And if you'll stop and do some computation on your own mortgage, you will discover, many of you, that by the time you pay off your mortgage, you will pay your banker between $35,000 and $65,000 for the privilege of living in and maintaining a home that might presently be worth about $20,000. You will pay the builder and all of the workers who produced it about $20,000. The bankers will get about $40,000 for doing nothing more than advancing you the credit and making 360 entries on a book as you pay it off. The most amazing thievery in all of the world, the greatest system of swindle and theft and plunder that has ever been designed, has been fastened upon our people. And praise the Lord, Revelation 17 and 18, are a description of the destruction of this worldwide system of plunder called Mystery Babylon the Great, the Mother of Harlots, and Abominations of the Earth. As they list the merchandise of Mystery Babylon in Revelation 18, verses 12 and 13, the first one is gold. And as Babylon is destroyed, we see in verse 11, the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. And their merchandise is listed as the merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls. And it goes all the way down through ivory and wood and iron and frankincense and fine flour. And the cheapest merchandise in the present world economic system is slaves and souls of men. Yes, men, living human beings, are the cheapest merchandise traded in the marketplace of Mystery Babylon. That is why the rulers of the United States of America, using their power gotten through money, can require close to 1 million of the flower of American youth between the ages of 17 and 19 to go 10,000 miles away from home and fight and kill 500,000 of the people of that nation under the guise of helping that nation. In the last 10 years, the United States of America has literally destroyed every city except Saigon in South Vietnam under the guise of fighting North Vietnam. The American newspaper and news media has told us that we're fighting to save South Vietnam from North Vietnamese communists. And yet in 10 years, we have succeeded only in killing 45,000 young American teenagers, in wounding or maiming for life 250,000 of them, sending home an unknown tens of thousands of them with diseases or drug addicts, all under the guise of helping South Vietnam. When we pulled out just recently, we left a South Vietnam in ashes and half of its territory occupied by North Vietnamese soldiers. And the agreement which our president signed in Paris states specifically that South Vietnam is not to attack the soldiers of North Vietnam any place in South Vietnam. The Newsweek magazine recently published an article showing a map of South Vietnam, and according to them, the communist soldiers occupy close to 65 to 70% of South Vietnam. And yet we are pulling out. The purpose of the multi-billionaires who control the United States government has been accomplished. The American working man has lost his sons, has mortgaged his life and work to the tune of another $150 to $200 billion in 10 years of war. The war accomplished exactly what the leaders of this nation set out to accomplish, to place our people in bondage to the money lenders. Thomas Jefferson, back in 1791, in opposing the giving of a charter to bankers and giving them the right to issue money, said, quote, "If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issue of currency, first by inflation and then by deflation, The banks and corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all property until their children will wake up homeless on the continent their fathers have conquered. Did Jefferson know what he was talking about? Well, take a look at America today. Our young children, even when they marry, are often required to live in 1- and 2-room apartments or in trailer homes, not even owning the land whereon they live, the land in the continent their fathers conquered, and they are tenants while the bankers hold the mortgage and the title to the property. In 1864, Lincoln wrote this just shortly before he was assassinated. As a result of the war, corporations have been enthroned and an era of corruption in high places will follow, and the money power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working upon the prejudices of the people until all wealth is aggregated in the hands of a few. I feel at this moment more anxiety for the safety of my country than ever before. God grant that my suspicions may prove groundless. And mind you, this was after it was obvious that the North was going to win the war. Lincoln was more afraid of the money power in the hands of the bankers than he was of the civil war in which his nation was engaged. In 1910, the United States government was indebted to the bankers to the tune of $1,146,000,000, or a total of $12.40 per person. By 1973, the national debt is almost $500 billion, or over $2,000 for every man, woman, and child in America. If you are an American worker, you owe, as your part of the American debt, if you have 5 people in your family, the equivalent of $10,000. It is amazing to me, as a minister and as a citizen, why more people do not begin to wonder how come a few 100,000 men who own banks got enough money to loan the rest of us 200 million people almost $3 trillion. Yes? The amount of money lent to your government, to your municipality, to your school board, to the highway department in highway bonds, to private individuals on their homes and businesses now amounts to almost $3 trillion. The interest alone on that amount paid from the working man into the hands of the bankers now equals about $300 billion a year. Just stop and think for a moment. $300 billion a year. The equivalent of almost 1/2 of the national debt is paid to the bankers every year out of the pockets of the working people in America. Isn't it amazing that ministers can find nothing in the Bible about this Antichrist system of robbery and plunder? In my book, coming soon, America Without Debt, Crime, or War, I have 2 separate chapters on God's laws, statutes, and judgments regarding money. God's law on gold, God's law on money, God's law on interest, God's law on debt, and yes, even God's order for stable, non-